Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome here to Windsor, the United Kingdom. And behind me you see this branch of HSBC, this former branch, because it closed down not a week ago. When I opened an account there many moons ago, it was the Midland Bank, subsequently purchased by Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation. Anyway, that's a rather circuitous introduction to this being a video about Herbert George Wells, better known as H.G. Wells. So forgive my prefatory diversion. Anyway, so he worked in that building there that became HSBC when it was a draper's shop as a teenager. But he wasn't born here. He was born in Bromley, Kent, which is really the southeast corner of London, to a family of ruthlessly self-improving Victorians. His father had started off as a gardener, become a shopkeeper, been a professional cricketer at county level for a while, one of the few sports in which that was allowed from a very early stage. And then his mother started off as an underservant, worked her way up to the housekeeper of a minor aristocratic family. So he was one of five children, and he was brought up a Christian in the Protestant denomination. He always remained a Christian, but not quite so mainstream. Didn't go off with one of the wacko sects, but had a certain coolness towards established religion, but nevertheless called himself a Christian throughout his life. So he was always a very bright and erudite boy, but what really helped his scholarship is when he was ill and bedridden for a few months, in which case he devoured several volumes in just 2 weeks. So from then he was really a bibliomane. So when he left school, he trained as a teacher, and in those days you simply were a pupil teacher for a while, neither paying for lessons nor being paid to teach them. And if you're 18, you might be teaching the 8-year-olds, receiving a few lessons. After about a year of that, being observed by some established teachers, you were a teacher. Teacher training was very informal in those days. Remember, he's born in 1866, when he was born, there wasn't even any compulsory schooling in the United Kingdom. There was still some illiteracy. Even then, it's thought that over 80% of people were literate, even in the UK, even to a very low level. So that was one of the highest in the world. Germany was the very first country to have compulsory schooling, and the United Kingdom followed with the Forced Education Act in 1870. So after that, he later went to the Royal University of Science, subsequently renamed Imperial College London, but didn't get university status until well after H.G. Wells graduated. So he married in 1891, but his good wife died of an illness only 3 years later. So he married, that was Catherine, his first wife. He married Amy some years later, and they were blessed with four children, two of whom became minor writers in their own repute. So Wells, he was attracted to socialism, and that was really all the rage in intellectual circles at the time. So I suppose he was on the edge of the Bloomsbury set, really. He wasn't as radical as most. And he was a staunch pacifist in the run-up to the First World War. He thought this Teutonophobia was really just disgustful, rabid and jingoistic. He'd been one of those who said that the United Kingdom ought not to have responded to aggression by Transvaal and the Orange Free State when they proclaimed war on the British Empire unprovoked in 1899. And he very much disapproved of the detention of Boer civilians in that war. Anyway, he came to the First World War and he changed his mind, and he said that the Kaiser really was bestial and had to be defeated, that there was a clear-cut moral and legal case for war. So he offered his quill rather than his sword to fight for king and country, and he penned many pro-war articles, and he said it was the war to end war. Try not to laugh too hard about that. Him saying that wars were about to finish in 1918 when he wrote that particular article. But he's best known as a novelist. Obviously, he was also a jobbing journalist, a hack writer, his critics said. And he always had enemies because, you know, literary London is a bitchy world. But he's best known for some of his novels like The War of the Worlds and War in the Air, which he published in 1907. Remember, the very first powered flight by the Wright brothers was 1903. It was in South Carolina, North Carolina. They're from Dayton, Ohio, but it was one of the Carolinas that had their first flight in over about 80 meters. And by 1907, they could only fly a couple of miles. So he was obviously way ahead of himself, very prophetic. The one about the time travel, that novel, that still hasn't come true well over a century after its publication. But some of these were just sensational. He was a very wealthy man by the end of his life. He lived in Woking for a while. Later on, he lived just off Regent's Park in London in a very she house. I can show you the plaque there. So by modern terms, he was a multi-millionaire. He professed socialism. He stood as a Labour parliamentary candidate for London University twice. Alas and alack, he was never returned to the Mother of Parliaments. Remember, in those days, if you had a degree, you had a vote for an MP for your university, as well as for you individually. And when he stood in 1923, there were only about 10 universities in the whole UK. It was only in 1950 that the Representation of the People Act did away with that. So if you're a graduate, and only about 1% of the population were graduates in 1923, I really mean just 1%, people had an additional vote, one for the parliamentary constituency that was your dwelling place, and a second for the university that you graduated from. The undergraduates didn't have it, only the graduates. So there was not such a clear distinction between social democracy and communism in those days. And the communists, they called themselves social democrats. Remember, the communists in the Soviet Union had come out of the Russian Social Democratic and Labour Party, and were calling themselves social democrats even at the time of Nikita Khrushchev. I've read his speeches when he mentions that, or even socialism, Gorbachev, even in 1991 talking about it. He was impressed by the Soviet Union. He and his good wife were invited there, were guests of Comrade Stalin, and were very naive, and they were duped by all these Potemkin villages. Of course, they didn't see the horrific reality of Soviet life, with millions of people deliberately starved to death. And he was a firm anti-Nazi. He was also the president of PEN International, a writers' organization. Certainly well-traveled in Western Europe, and he traveled to the United States, where he gave his readings. He was lionized there, and he received his royalties in the United States, and obviously fat fees for speaking. He could sell many of his books, autographing them there. So that was H.G. Wells, who fell ill and finally died in 1946, so just after the Second World War. And when War of the Worlds was broadcast live on the radio in the United States in the 1930s, voiced by the young Orson Welles. And he related it so vividly that many people were driven to blind panic, and they honestly believed that space aliens were landing. And they had to take these emergency precautions, and people were fainting, and they were absolutely at panic stations. So it's a bit too realistically written. So his writing is certainly vivid. It's got pace and verve. It's humorous in places. He's got plenty of character sketches. And he obviously long ago learned that easy literary rule. It's much more fun to be nasty than to be nice about your characters. So he's got an ear for colloquial dialogue. So he was well missed. One of the trailblazers of science fiction in English, Jules Verne, a Frenchman a generation before him, he probably invented the genre of science fiction. But H.G. Wells did so much for its furtherance in English. So, and that's why many of his films have been made into, many of his novels have been made into Hollywood films subsequently, certainly The Time Traveler one. But he's got many other less well-known novels. He didn't just write science fiction, he wrote novels really of all kinds. Never turned his hand to poesy, his enemies would say, because his writing would go from bad to verse. Anyway, so that's enough about H.G. Wells. Thank you so much for watching this video. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone.